Hi, welcome back to the Producer Joe Show. It's been about a week and a half since my last guest. I hope you were able to check into that one. Radio legend Rick Jackson, who has been, his career is just incredible. Everything that he has done and what he has accomplished and what he's still accomplishing. I listen to his show every week in the backyard while I'm doing my yard work. It's primarily country music, older country music. He's really incredible at what he does, and it's a fun show. If you want to watch it, check out my YouTube page, and the link is on there. And speaking of that, if you are watching this on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. I'm trying to raise the numbers, like and subscribe, as they say. And here we go. Well, my guest, I'm sorry if I'm distracted here. I'm producing and hosting, so it's a... I'm doing two feats here. My guest this week is Steve Dolan. A lot of us East Countyers and a lot of San Diegans know who he is. And he's a fun guy, and he's really smart. With all that being said, I'm going to bring him in right now. Well, hi, Joe, Steve.
Joe, hi. How are you? Thanks so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're able to come on. I know that this has been a kind of a long time coming, and I'm glad we're finally here. Here we are.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here. I mean, I've been with the Padres in the media for 52 years, starting in 1973, my senior year in high school at El Capitan. I actually worked at a place in Lakeside called the Backcountry Trader and covered the Padres then when they were supposed to be moving to Washington, D.C., but they stayed, and here we are. You know, 51 years, 52 seasons later, here we are.
Now, for those of you who don't know, he did allude to the Padres potentially moving to Washington. It was so close. It was so close that there was even a team photo taken with the Washington Padres insignia. Am I correct on that one, Steve?
Oh, absolutely, Joe. That was going to happen, and then it didn't happen. Thank goodness Ray Kroc came in to save the franchise. It's funny, though, Joe, because I think of having been in the Padres press box for over 50 years, some of the differences then versus now. I remember back then, the media actually got free food. The feeling was, hey, they're giving us all that publicity, so we'll feed them. It's not so much that way now. I mean, but I do remember Buzzy Bavezzi back then, who ran the Padres, their general manager. He was funny in the press room because I remember one time a local TV sportscaster spilled a beer because they used to even give the media beer if they won. Buzzy said, clean it up. The guy said, no. That was the end of the beer in the press box, and that's been 45 plus years.
Wow. Thanks, dude. Appreciate that, man. Yeah. Just one spoiled apple ruins the whole bunch. Is that what they say?
Absolutely. And Joe, it's funny. I want to keep up on that topic about what it used to be like too. I remember, like I say, they used to give the media free food and all. It stopped in the early 1980s of all people, the Atlanta Braves owned by Ted Turner. Ted said, hey, these guys aren't inviting me over for dinner. So they're paying $3 for their chicken dinner here in Atlanta. But the irony was us visiting people, he still gave it to us for free because we were, hey, they're my company. And we were on expense accounts, but the local guys had to pay for their own, and there it went.
Wow. That's a great story. I didn't know all of that, all the little intricate details of that. So for our audience, Steve, why don't you tell us what exactly you do for the Padres?
What I do, Joe, I'm actually the statistician. I worked for 7 years with Don Orsillo and Mark Grant. I was their statistician, and now I'm doing the visiting teams. Basically, statistician in a nutshell, there's two parts of it. Number one, as an official statistician, you're working with the production truck, letting them know, you know, the pregame lineups, the umpire, where runners are on base, if there's a pinch hitter on deck, who's in the bullpen, any defensive changes, etc. And let's say during the game, let's say Dylan Cease has 10 strikeouts in the fourth inning, then it's your job as the statistician. Okay, when's the last time he did this, or has he ever done this? So you're basically chasing during the game. It's funny, Joe, too, because I've done network games with Fox. And when you do Fox, you have one statistician just with the announcers and one just with a production truck. But on a local game, you're doing both. So, it was a pleasure working with Don and Mark. I mean, it was really, really great working with them. And it's also great working with the visiting announcers.
Yeah, they are true gems to have in this town, no question. I remember we were quite spoiled with Matt Bascursian, and Don has filled in quite nicely here.
Absolutely. I mean, I know Don's got one more year left on his current contract. And I mean, I can't imagine the Padres would not extend him because him and Mark do such a great job. And Joe, you know, it's been my pleasure for over 20 years to do statistics both for the Padres and for the visiting teams. I mean, I've been really blessed. I've been blessed to work with four Hall of Fame announcers. Started with a guy you've heard of named Harry Callis with the Philadelphia Phillies, Dave Niehaus with the Seattle Mariners. Then here locally, Dick Enberg, of course, did the Padres for several years. And the one that was just amazing, Vin Scully with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, it does not get any better than that. There you see Vin right there. I was so blessed to work with him, Joe. And the funny thing about Vin, whenever you would work a series with him, Joe, at the end of the series, he would say, "Steve, it's been a pleasure working with you." And I'd be like, "You are Vin Scully. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you, sir."
Yeah, every time I hear his voice or his name, all I can think of the Farmer John hot dogs. You know, that's
Yeah.
it's synonymous. I don't know, that's the food side of me talking. That's the fat boy in me talking. But I always think of the Farmer John hot dogs whenever I see him. But yeah, what a treasure he was.
Absolutely. And Joe, speaking of treasures, of course, I was actually covering the Padres in 1984 when they went to their first World Series under Dick Williams. Everybody remembers the brawl in Atlanta. I was there. I mean, the thing I remember is flying home that night. Everybody had to change their flights because the game went so late after 16 guys got kicked out. I actually had a stopover in Ontario, get out of the plane, and there was this guy that looked white as a sheet. John McSherry, the crew chief, had been on my flight. And he just said, "Hey, I can't talk about it. Give me a call tomorrow." And I called him the next day at home. And he said, "Call me every day." The next day I called him, he said, "Major League Baseball says I can't talk to you anymore." Be that
Wow.
as it may. But Joe, you know, those 84 Padres were something, as you know. They went to the World Series. I mean, the thing I remember the most about the World Series is, of course, Detroit beat the Padres 4 games out of 5. After game four, when Detroit went up 3-1, one of the media members asked Dick Williams, he said, "Dick, are you going to sleep on your lineup before tomorrow?" And Dick Williams' answer was, "First, I'm going to drink on it, then I'm going to sleep on it." And I know he drank on it because that night, a bunch of us sports writers, led by Jason Stark, who now works for The Athletic, you've heard of him, he led a group of us over to the pro wrestling matches across the street from our hotel. We got to see Andre the Giant fight Kamala, the Ugandan giant. Came back in the hotel, Joe, and I'm not much of a drinker, but I stuck my head in the bar, and there was Dick Williams. Dick had four wrestlers with him. He had George the Animal Steele, Dick Murdoch, Adrian Adonis, and Barry Windham. And I walked up to Dick and I said, "You know, Dick, you know how much I love baseball, but I love wrestling almost as much." And Dick said, "Come on in and sit down with us." And the reason I know that Dick Williams drank on it before he slept on the lineup for the next day, Dick took us all out to Greektown in Detroit. We were there until 3 in the morning. So Dick definitely drank on it before he slept on that lineup for game five.
That's great. Well, he was a character, Dick Williams, but man, he brought us our first National League championship, you know, and forever grateful for that one. I mean, it didn't turn out great, much like the Tigers who made the who we met in the 84 World Series, much like the Yankees in 98. Nobody could beat those teams as far as I'm concerned. Those were powerhouses.
It is, Joe. It's amazing because the 84 Tigers who beat the Padres in the World Series, they started out by winning 35 of their first 40 games. The 98 Yankees had 114 wins, 48 losses before they won the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, the Padres probably picked the two wrong years to go to the World Series. But, you know, the thing I remember about the 1998 World Series, that everybody does, of course, is when the Padres were actually beating the Yankees 5-2, Yankees have the bases loaded, two outs. Mark Langston throws a pitch right down the middle of Tino Martinez, and the umpire calls it a ball. Next pitch, grand slam. Padres lose the game. They get swept in the series. What I remember, though, Joe, is remember that offseason, Kevin Brown, who'd been the Padres' star pitcher, signed with the Dodgers. And even after he signed with the Dodgers, I read a story in the LA Times about him, and Brown said, "Hey, we could have won that World Series if that pitch had been called strike three in game one. I mean, that turned the whole series around.
Yeah, I remember that offseason. That was when Kevin Brown from Atlanta said that I want to go closer to home. So he signs closer to home in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I remember that, Joe. I'm not sure how much closer he was to home. But one thing I will say for Kevin Brown, though, leading the Padres to the 1998 World Series, timing couldn't have been more perfect because that's a year that they have the vote on Petco Park, Proposition C. And the Padres, remember, they got 60% of the vote. They don't get to the World Series. They don't go as far as they did. They probably don't go to Petco Park.
Should we talk about Bruce Henderson or should we let that one go? Okay, maybe not. No, Kevin Brown was a workhorse, and I loved watching it. So every now and then I'll pull up some YouTube because I'm a baseball nerd and just watch him pitch. He's just – what a machine he was.
Yeah, because if you remember right, even in game four, because the Padres, of course, got swept four straight games, Kevin Brown came in and pitched in relief. He was like, what the heck? Season's on the line. What am I saving myself for next year? And, of course, there was no next year for him in San Diego.
Yeah, you know those bullpen games never quite work out. Oh, wait, what happened to the Padres this year? Gosh dang it.
They were close. And, of course, the Dodgers in that game four in San Diego, the bullpen game, beat them 8-0. I mean, that's what was shocking, though, Joe, is how the Padres were so good offensively all year, and then their last 24 innings, they laid a goose egg, never scored a run.
Well, I guess it's better than laying a chicken egg, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's my beautiful wife, Cindy, and I with the chicken. That was actually at a party for a guy named Jeff LaValle. Jeff was a cameraman at Channel 10 for many, many, many years. I love the chicken. I can remember even in 1973 when he was first becoming popular, my friend, the late, great Larry Morgan, he and I were sitting out in left field. We gave the chicken his first drink. And I mean, boy, that's something you just can't forget, right?
That's fantastic. We were blessed enough to, well, we host a radio reunion every year, be it at a hotel or wherever. We hosted the radio reunion a couple of years ago here at our home because we couldn't find a hotel to do it at. And Ted himself showed up, and it was just a true pleasure to talk to somebody who I watched my entire life and just made a difference, and made a difference globally. I mean, he's not just our mascot. He's recognized everywhere, and to have him here in my own backyard was just, it was surreal, and such a nice man.
Joe, I'm jealous of you. Now, was he in the chicken suit with or without the suit?
No, he was not. And whenever there was a photo taken, he had, thought I had it in here. He had a mask of a chicken. And so he would hold it up whenever there was a photo taken.
Yeah, because I know back in the day, Joe, when I got to know Ted quite well, I guess what was disappointing is one time I was down there, down below at the old San Diego Jack Murphy Stadium, whatever you want to call it, I saw him walking around without his chicken head on, and I was just like, oh, it's just kind of like, you know.
It's like going behind the scenes at Disneyland.
Exactly. What would you do if you saw Snow White walking around without her costume on? Man, you would just be heartbroken. You know? And that was the same
thing.
That's
fantastic. Well, let me take you through a couple pictures here that I have loaded up. They're not in any particular order here, but what do you think of – why is this laggy? What do you think of the new Snapdragon Stadium? No trees.
It's fine. Joe, I've done a lot of San Diego State football games, and I'll be doing the Holiday Bowl for Fox later this month. I think it's a nice stadium. I mean, the only issue in that stadium, well, there's two issues. Number one is that San Diego State's football team, they're just nothing there. There's no buzz. I mean, 10,000 people showed up for their last home game. Right. And, of course, number two is the field. I mean, I remember I did the game against New Mexico back on November 8th. And you would have thought in the middle of the field that you were playing golf because it was like having a sand pit there. It was just awful. I mean, the field was awful. But the stadium itself, nice stadium. I was lucky enough, the very first game, they remember the 100-degree game, Joe?
Yep.
I actually worked for Big CBS that game. I was the sideline spotter for Arizona, which meant I was helping out Jenny Dell, who's the CBS sideline reporter. My job was simply to watch Arizona, see if anything was going on the sideline, and they have that injury tent, see who goes in the injury tent and all stuff that you have to have eyes and ears. I was kind of like the eyes and ears on the Arizona sideline. And it was, well, I was going to say it was cool, but it wasn't cool because you know what? It was 100 degrees and I stood in the sun for 3.5 hours having the sun straight in my face. And luckily there was a nice lady from CBS who kept bringing me Gatorade and water. And I must've had 10 during the game, got home, went in the pool for half an hour and told my wife, I'm not moving. I can't.
Sure. Sure. I remember that. The news was all out there. People were hiding in the concrete, the shadow that the concrete would provide. And they were handing out waters. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. I'm sentimental and I miss Jack Murphy Stadium. I'm not going to lie, but I know it was time.
I know, you know, I mean, let's be honest. If the Chargers maintained it, that stadium could probably still be here. I mean, Dean Spanos had his eyes set on LA for years and now he's there.
Good, yeah. Paying him. What, $5 a month for rent or something like that?
I think he pays $1 a year. I mean,
$1 a year. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, Joe, this is just me. This is just me. I mean, I have a lot of people tell me, well, I like them because they used to be in San Diego. I don't like hearing that because here's the thing. If you want to play used to be in San Diego, you better be a Dodger fan because their manager, Dave Roberts, their pitching coach, Mark Pryor, their bench coach, Bob Guerin, they all used to be in San Diego. They all played high school baseball in San Diego. So if you want to play the used to be in San Diego game, you better be a Dodger fan.
After they moved north, I sure miss the days because it seems to not happen anymore when the national announcer would say, and San Diego, I mean, Los Angeles. I mean, there was a lot of those. I think most of them were intentional, but I think there's a lot of those flubs. And I have my own opinions on how we do not have that team here anymore. And part of it is I don't know why only the city could vote on it when me as a county resident, hey, I put my money into that team just as much as, you know, the next guy. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's
sad. Like you said, he had his sights set.
Exactly.
And Stan Kroenke couldn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I was told a long time ago, if you can't say anything nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. So I really have nothing to say about Dean Spanos.
Yeah, that says a mouthful right there. So let's get into some of your travel pictures here, shall we?
Sure. Oh, yeah, there's my wife and I at the Colosseum in Rome. We went there on a tour with an organization called Colette. We had a great time there. We actually stayed in a hotel that was like a block from the Colosseum. We really, really enjoyed it. I mean, as you know, I mean, it's not exactly the L.A. Colosseum. I mean, it was just amazing. We really had a great time on that whole Italian trip.
Yeah, I mean, I have never been there, but geez, it looks just incredible. And I'm sure that as they say, you know, the pictures don't do it justice. And I'm absolutely positive that that holds true in this.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. Amazing, amazing place.
I'm pulling up a picture right now. It's taking me a second, but because I'm on this photo, I want to bring this up because I saw this the other day. Did you see the drone show over the Colosseum? I don't know when they did this, but they did a drone show over that Colosseum and replicated what it used to look like.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't see that. That's pretty amazing. Wow.
Yeah. I was stunned by that the other day. I just wanted to pull that one up there.
Yeah. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy what they can do with drones now. It's not just for peeping in people's backyards.
Absolutely. Yeah. That we were on a trip that went from Switzerland to Germany, and we actually started in Prague. That was in 2010. That right there, that's a German castle you're seeing behind my wife, Cindy, and I. On that trip, we actually went to the Passion of the Christ play in a place called Oberammergau, Germany. That plays only once every 10 years. We went with our church pastor, David Jeremiah, from Shadow Mountain Community Church, with his group called Turning Point Ministries. That was a great tour. And actually on that tour, it's funny because I met not Matt Millen, the announcer, but his wife and two daughters were on that tour. And people will remember him. He has 5 Super Bowl rings, you know, 49ers and all. But he also, sure, you know, he's a general manager. The Detroit Lions didn't go so well there. And even his own family had signs that said fire Millen.
Well, the Lions are doing pretty good right now.
Yeah. Yeah. right now, you'd have to say that certainly they're probably the Super Bowl favorite, them and the Eagles and, you know, the Chiefs, who keep winning by 2-3 points a game, are probably the top three teams out there right now.
And
in Buffalo.
Of course, here I am hopping all over the place. And what did I tell you? About 20 minutes in, my ADHD starts kicking. So let me get back on topic here.
Okay, there's my wife. This was a Caribbean cruise. That's in Haiti. That's our Royal Caribbean ship behind us. And the irony, Joe, there, this place in Haiti, it's called Labadee, Haiti. Royal Caribbean has its own island there. So, I mean, so people, I remember going there, people said, Haiti's very dangerous. Yes, Haiti's very dangerous, but Royal Caribbean's island is not. The thing I remember about that island, though, is a couple of the people that worked on the ship, they tell you to get back on time. They didn't get back on time, so they got left there. They had to figure out how to catch up with the ship, which wasn't a real pleasant experience for them, but that trip was a very pleasant experience for us.
Wow. That's a – wow. Yeah. Look at that. Is that Greece?
Yes, that's Santorini.
That's on my list.
Yeah, Joe, go there. It's funny. And again, talking about our pastor, David Jeremiah, he said in a sermon he's written in a book, he's very famous. He said the most beautiful place in the world is Santorini, Greece. We would absolutely agree with that. I'll never forget the day in Santorini, all those white buildings and all. And you can see, you know, the scenery behind you. Just absolutely an amazing place. Anybody, if you want to go to the most beautiful place in the world, it's not easy to get there, but figure out how to get to Santorini, Greece.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely stunning. I've seen some movies filmed there, and I'm always like, oh, we got to go, we got to go. Let's see, one more here. Do you knock over a tower here?
Yeah. You probably know that one, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We were pushing it. She actually, my wife ended up winning in the end. She pushed it over, and I had, you know, I lost that contest. But it was really cool. I mean, the thing I remember, too, is we had a young lady, I didn't know her, of course, that took our photo. And she set us up just perfectly, making it look like we really were pushing that thing, because it's just another one of those places that when you're in Italy, you know, you really want to go there. I mean, that was all part of the Italian tour where you showed some photos from earlier from Rome, from the Colosseum.
I thought for sure that was the yogurt shop in El Cajon for a moment.
Yes, that's the yogurt mill.
Yes.
You get your 2-for-1 special there tonight if you go.
Yum. Okay, well, let's see. I found this. It's our friend Adam Paul down there. I can tell you that he was excited to have you on the show today. He wanted to hear a couple words about wrestling, I believe, but found that picture of your old Dolan's dugout there.
Yeah, that was, you know, and Ramon Scott up in the upper left-hand corner, and our guest Chris there. I mean, we enjoyed doing it. I mean, and you know what? It's funny because that's from 2020. And Joe, the thing that I remember about 2020, everybody's sort of COVID stories, I actually was part of the TBS crew, because remember Petco Park hosted the American League playoffs for 2 weeks. And here I was, you know, in San Diego, sequestered in a downtown hotel for 2 weeks, half an hour from home. They let us walk to Petco Park 3/4 mile each way. And they just told us, be careful. And I mean, it was great, because one of the people I really got to know on that trip, who I already knew but could know much better, is a guy named Brian Anderson. Brian, of course, on TBS now, you'll see him doing NCAA playoff games. I mean, he's doing their top basketball games. He's their baseball announcer, and Don Orsillo does some of those games. Brian, it's funny, he's just a very nice, quiet guy from Milwaukee. But the guy's famous. I mean, yeah. I've just been blessed to be around a lot of famous people. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I talk about Brian Anderson or Don Orsillo if one day one or both of them aren't in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, along with Vin Scully and everybody else that we named earlier.
I think if I want to bring this back a couple of years, I think where you and I first met was KRLY up in Alpine.
Yes.
York station.
Mountain Country 107.9 FM. Joe, I was blessed with Chris Torek, who owns the station, very nice man, to do what we used to do on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. It was called Dolan's Dugout. We had a sports show. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And having been blessed to have been in the sports media for so long, it was really great to get some great guests. I'm not even going to start naming too many of them. I mean, yeah, Mark Grant even came by. I'll say that. But, you know, I had Bernie Wilson, the Associated Press, Jay Paris, who's written for so many people. I had Dave and Jeff from the Dave and Jeff Show. I mean, I had the late, great Rick Hill from KFMB and Cogo Radio.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm going to quit naming names because I'm going to forget more people, which I've already
known. No, that was that's a fun place up there. I remember when he moved over here, he's really got it going up there for a local station. You know, it's a great place to be. It's fun.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know last year Chris got rodeo tickets. I was going to go with the rodeo with him and I got sick, unfortunately, but the rodeo is coming up again this year. So hopefully I can find a way to go with Chris, because I'm looking forward to that San Diego rodeo. I know I'm probably getting into politics by saying that, but hey, I want to go to that rodeo.
He's a good man. He's great family. And I love his outfit up there.
Absolutely.
So did you want to touch on any wrestling? Now, I don't know very much about wrestling, I will be honest, but I know you said that you did something, or you mentioned it on Facebook the other day. You WrestleMania, I believe you said.
I went to two of them. I went to WrestleMania 6 in Las Vegas and WrestleMania 9 in Anaheim. Real quick, at WrestleMania 6, the thing I remember is that Hulk Hogan, we all know who he is, of course, he was not supposed to be in a championship match that day. Somebody else won a championship, and the script was, after he won the championship, Hulk challenged him to a fight right then and there. The guy said, okay, let's do it, and Hulk won the championship. So in the post-match press conference, I asked Hulk, I said, Hulk, what's it like coming here today? You're not even in a championship match to begin with, but then you walk out of here with a championship. And Hulk's answer to me was, what have you been doing, reading my script? You know, in WrestleMania 9 in Anaheim, I was lucky, Joe. I sat next to a guy who at that time, he booked the wrestlers who would come on maybe once or twice a year on the old Jay Leno show. And I sat with this guy at WrestleMania and he said, you know, hey, let's go to the Anaheim Convention Center afterwards. We went over there and I mean, I get to go to the party afterwards where the wrestlers were there. It was great. You know, we had to stay away from him, but seeing Steve Austin and Mick Foley and all those guys from a distance. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, I've been really blessed. And again, going back to that night in 1984 in Detroit, I remember sitting next to George Animal Steel. George, his real name was Jim Myers. He was a high school football coach in Detroit. And I remember asking him, I said, George, I said, you didn't wrestle tonight in Detroit. Why not? And he said, it's business. Well, I know it's business, Joe, because back in the 70s, when I was going to El Capitan High School, we had a PE coach. His name was Clark Staples. Well, Clark Staples wrestled under the name of Don Savage. And I can remember one night, my brother and I and some of the others, we were at the old San Diego Coliseum at 15th and E Street downtown. And, you know, Coach Staples, or should I say Don Savage, his wrestling name, is walking the ring. We're all saying, hey, coach, hey, coach. And he's like, shh, shh. Because he didn't want anybody to know, as if they didn't know that was Coach Staples, not Don Savage.
Wow, that's fun. That's cool. Well, do you have anything else to add here, buddy?
Gosh, Joe, we've touched so much. I've made some notes out here. I did want to, you know, it's funny. One other thing I did want to mention, because I know you're close to Kurt Bevacqua. You remember 1984, of course, the Padres beat the Cubs 3 out of 5 to get the World Series. The first two games in Chicago were just pathetic. The Padres lost game 1, 13-0. They lost game 4-2. And we're all of the media's people are like, game 3 in San Diego, it's over. Padres are done. I walked up to Kurt, and Kurt says to me, he says, wish I was in Vegas because I bet on us to win this thing. And I had to almost hold myself from laughing. And then, as it turned out, Kurt was right.
Yep. Wow. That's neat. That's really cool, man. What an exciting time. I was 14 at the time and just really kind of coming into a full-fledged baseball fan, I guess you could say. And I would listen or watch all the games. And then my mom said that I'd record them and I'd listen to them all again, you know, at night. And just a great time for baseball. And even when I see old footage and I see the jerseys, it just brings me back, and such a great time. And not taking anything away from today, it's just that's where my wheelhouse was back then.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, people could argue till the day's over about which was better. I mean, I'm one of those who think it was a much better game way back when pitchers like Randy Jones had pitched 25 complete games as opposed to pitching in 25 games for 6 innings each if you're lucky. I mean, I just thought back It just seemed like the game back then was much better. But be that as it may, because they're making comebacks now with a pitch clock and doing different things that are making the game more exciting, making the games 2.5 hours instead of 3.5 hours. And I think that's at least a step in the right direction.
Sure. I did see that they lost Kyle Higashioka to the Rangers. It's too bad. I was really starting to get attached to that guy. Seems like it's hard for us to get a consistent catcher in this town.
Yeah, every year it's somebody different. The year before, you know, Gary Sanchez came on, and you know, now it's back to Luis Campusano, but I'm sure the Padres will get somebody else in the offseason. But it's going to be interesting to see this offseason what they do, because you know, people talk about, you know, 2023, about how that team underachieved and last year overachieved. And bottom line is in 2023, they hired veterans Matt Carpenter and Nelson Cruz, who did nothing. In 2024, they bring in David Peralta and Donovan Solano, who did great. So maybe, you know, it's almost like the season's going to be based on who are those fringe guys they can get in here that can make or break a season, maybe.
Yeah, we were kind of spoiled when we had like Terry Kennedy and Wiki Gonzalez, you know, pretty serviceable. It's funny because, you know, our football team has always had a cornerstone quarterback, but our baseball team has never, in, I mean, recent history, hasn't had a cornerstone catcher, which as a baseball coach, to me, that's one of the most important parts of the entire field.
Absolutely. You know, I remember Terry Kennedy. He was, you know, he was great. He did really well. But, you know, we were talking about Dick Williams earlier, Joe, and he had weird ways of motivating people. He motivated back in the, you can't do it now, but back in the day, he motivated by getting on guys. I remember somebody asked him, because Terry Kennedy was a big guy. I remember somebody asked him, hey, you know, Dick, Terry did great last year. He batted 301. And Dick Williams' answer was, yeah, but a guy that big shouldn't be hitting a bunch of soft singles to left field.
Oh, shit.
So Dick always had, you know, Andy Hawkins, the pitcher, was the first timid Texan he ever met. So Dick had an unusual way of motivating people. With some guys it worked, some guys it didn't.
Sounds like the father that maybe you didn't ever want in your life.
Exactly.
A little too hard on you. But I'll bring it back to Jim Leyritz was another one, which I loved watching him play. There was just something fiery about him.
Hard nose. Yeah. I mean, you know, hard nose guy. I mean, you need those type of guys on your team. I mean, and Jim Leyritz was that way.
But he never shows in like Garvey, you know, he kind of goes back and forth on the Padres and Dodgers. Leyritz never wears a Padres jersey anymore.
No, he's a Yankee.
But he's working for the Yankees, so.
Yeah, Garvey. You know, Joe, it was interesting, too, because Garvey, he was always very media-friendly. Because I remember back in the day when the media rode the bus with the team to the ballpark, media sat in the first four rows. Garvey always sat in row five. He always talked to the media. I mean, back then, the irony is back then, there was a feeling that he was going to run for politics when he got out of baseball. And then, you know, he had the divorce and some personal things went wrong, but 40 years later, he ran again. I mean, although, you know, being in the Republican Party, running for a state office in California, you're not going to win, but it was just interesting that 40 years later, there was Steve Garvey running for office in California.
Well, he's a very personable guy. We've had some characters in this town. That's all I'm going to say. It's a, like Ricky Henderson, I remember, I'm just droning on here, but I remember when I heard that we first got Ricky Henderson, and we're like, oh no, you know, he couldn't have been better. I mean, he was a perfect student. He was great.
Yeah. And Joe, it's funny you say that, because one thing I find out about guys, I mean, and Ricky always had that great personality, but players, as they get older, usually get nicer. I mean, the young guys are usually pretty good, but once they've had a couple of good years, they get a little spoiled. Then when they get older and they're on their way out, they get nicer. I remember, it's ironic, because back in the mid-70s when I was attending San Diego State, I actually wrote a paper on media and athletes. And Mike Ryan at the time was the public relations director for the San Diego Padres. He made a great point. He said, you know, when a guy's an athlete, when you're in the media in high school, he needs you to get him to college. When he's in college, he needs you to help get him to the pros. But he's in the pros, he doesn't need you anymore.
Wow.
True.
It's very true. Absolutely. Very astute.
Yes.
Well, I think I'm going to wrap this up here. And I know I told you I'd cut you loose before I promote my next guest, but I think I'm actually going to hold you in here because, first of all, let me say thank you very much for coming on. You're always so much fun to talk to. You're a nice man. If you haven't subscribed to YouTube, I'm talking to the listeners, the viewers out there, please hit that subscribe button, and we'll have a lot more shows, including this Thursday. My guest, wait, where's my button? My guest will be.
Hey, Dave Marcus.
Dave Marcus. That's right. He's coming in. He's going to talk about, I guess it's a baseball themed week, but he's going to talk about his lengthy career with the Padres. And he's a fun guy. And he worked with Jerry Coleman and Ted Leitner. And I'm really excited for that one, just as I was your appearance here.
Dave's a great guy, UCLA all the way. But I mean, he's been there, for over 30 years doing the radio. I mean, he's now, he worked all those years with Ted Leitner. I mean, I was blessed to work with Ted. If I could, Joe, one real quick story on those guys. In 2020, again, we had the playoffs here in San Diego, the American League, and the Padres were playing, I believe it was in Texas at the time. But anyway, the announcers were in San Diego. The Padre announcers, because of COVID, couldn't travel. Our game ended in San Diego. I'm walking by the radio booth, and I heard Ted Leitner say, Manny Machado, it's a home run. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, that's right. They were announcing the game from San Diego. And there was Ted Leitner, Jesse Agler, and, of course, Dave Marcus.
Sure, sure. Great. I'm working on getting Ted on the show here, so I'm hoping the stars align. He has agreed to it. There's just some things that need to happen before he's allowed to come on here. But anyways, with that being said, I think we are done here, buddy. And I really appreciate you coming on here.
Well, thanks so much, Joe. I've enjoyed being with you, and I just really appreciate you having me on. It means a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for taking us down memory road on your travels and talking sports and everything. It's always a good time. I love talking sports.
Same here. Thanks so much, Joe. Have a great night and keep up the great shows.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Joe. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.